Gotham Sports Network presents NYG Weekly.
NYG Weekly, just Ethan and Weiss here with you today. No Nick, but before we get into Giants DBs running away from the press with their pants around their ankles and the head coach of the team definitely not crying before his post-game press conference, we got to take care of the housekeeping. Follow us on Twitter. Follow me at EthanGSN. Follow Weiss at NYG Daily. Follow Nick at Nick Zeraris. The blog at GothamSN. Subscribe or everywhere. iTunes, Audio Boom, Google Play, Stitch Radio, Spotify. Subscribe, unsubscribe, resubscribe, rate us 5 stars. Leave us a kind review. All right, Weiss, it was another drubbing. Very predictably so, in my opinion. And every week it just... Yeah, with the Giants, I think the motto goes, anytime you think you've hit rock bottom, you can always go lower. And it appears to be where we are. Before we jump into all the specifics, much like when I missed the episode and sent a statement to Nick. Nick has a statement from Nick. After spending one of the great days in New York City, Marathon Sunday, basking in communal joy, I was once again left to ask myself, why do we subject ourselves to such horseshit from our favorite teams? Why can't the Giants be mediocre instead of a joke? Why can't Brian Daboll accidentally win a game or two more than he's supposed to, as opposed to losing two more games than he's supposed to? The defense has given up 90 points over the last 3 games. They can't tackle, they can't cover, they can't even give the appearance of trying. The Giants are a poorly coached, underperforming team that desperately needs organizational accountability. Thank you, Nick. Weiss.
Yes, I think Nick nailed it right on the head. I sort of promised myself once the Jackson Dart era began that I wouldn't do this like week to week, you know, fire everyone. I would let the process play out. But I feel like Sunday's game against the 49ers, Ethan, was like a great epitome of why a house cleaning is needed. And if you give me a couple minutes, I can explain. The Giants entered Sunday against a beat-up 49er team that was starting Mac Jones at quarterback, had a plethora of injuries on their defense. Their wide receiver one, Ricky Purcell, a first-round pick, was not playing. Brandon Ayuk was the other big-money wide receiver that they have. He was obviously not playing. He's been played all year. But they are, I would say, the most injured team in the NFL. I think we can sort of agree on that. One of the most injured teams. And they smoked the Giants. This was a team that came in that, despite having Christian McCaffrey, despite Kyle Shanahan and his background, they were not good at running the football. Well, they ran the football for over 160 yards on Sunday. Despite the fact being Mac Jones, he looked like Joe Montana out there. Didn't throw an incompletion, I think, until the third quarter. Had all day to throw, made some good throws, took what the Giants gave them, which was a lot. Christian McCaffrey, wide open, multiple plays. It was just a complete failing operation. But you know, the pushback is, well, the Giants are beat up too. Well, yeah, the Giants were beat up. They were without Paulson Adebo, Javon Holland, obviously Cam Scatterbo's gone for the year. Malik Nabers, obviously, tore his ACL. They're beat up too. Now, Jermaine Illuminor didn't play. But who was out there for the Giants, Ethan? And this is why I think it's the whole conversation about, and I've been a part of this conversation about, is it coaching, is it talent, who should like it? The Giants secondary consisted of first-round pick Deonte Banks, who they traded up for. Third-round pick Drew Phillips. Second-round pick Tyler Newbin. And offensively, we talk about the receivers and trading for a receiver. Well, who do they have out there, a receiver? Were they just picking practice guys up off practice squads and around the league? No. They had Darius Lane, who they gave a 3-year, $36 million extension to, who was a team captain on this team. They had a second-round pick receiver in Wandale Robinson. They had a third-round pick Jalin Hyatt receiver, who they traded up for to get. Point being is, the resource that they have allocated entering Sunday, the expectation shouldn't have been what the results were. And that is a clear indication that this entire operation is broken. Because despite the fact that, yes, Paulson Adebo didn't play, Javon Holland didn't play, Malik Nabers obviously is not there, Cam Scatterbo is not there, a lot of Joe Shane's draft picks were out there, high draft picks, and they didn't look like they belong. And no disrespect to Paulson Adebo or Javon Holland, they're not playing at an all-pro level, but the drop-off from Adebo and Holland to being that, eye-popping. Talk about accountability. Continue to see week after week plays from Deontay Banks, where he just simply doesn't want to play football. Doesn't want to play football. Doesn't want to tackle. Doesn't want to cover properly. And yet, we continue to put him out there. You guys got to tell me what Deontay Banks brings to the table other than being a statistic on an Excel spreadsheet that Joe Shane shows John Mara at the end of the year of why he deserves to stay because his young players continue to play X amount of snaps. Long story short, I think yesterday was an example that while at times this season, because of Jackson Dart, we did feel like we're getting closer, the reality is we're still very far away. And we still need not only starters at spots, but the depth is clearly missing. Despite the fact that the guys that I mentioned were high draft picks, the guys that were filling in were high draft picks by Joe Shane.
Yeah, I really don't have much to add. We're at the point where it's November 3rd. And honestly, I think people are still so upset and so disappointed in how this season has transpired that I've seen very little speculation on draft pick and new regime. It's still purely just anger. And maybe that's just my algorithm
No,
doing its thing.
I'm a part of that. I'm a part of that
No,
too.
I'm a part of it too. I'm saying I'm just sort of shocked that, this fan base is so beaten down. Like, I've had conversations on the side and privately with some people, just sort of like, all right, who do you like? Who are you eyeing? After the Sunday night drubbing of the Commanders, you're seeing Kubiak's name a lot. But for a guy who's as good as gone as Brian Daboll, and maybe it's just because there's still that worry that Joe Shane is going to be here next year.
Worry, I still
I
think
just
Brian
feel
Daboll is going to be here next year.
I don't.
But
He's
I'm saying
a dead.
that's where our standard is right now.
No, he's a dead man walking. You can take that to the bank. He is gone. Joe Shane is another story, but it just feels like people are angry, and they have every right to be. You bring up some good points about the draft capital that's out there for Joe Shane. People act like he didn't have drafts his first and second year because Daniel Jones and Saquon Barkley were still on the team. That's just not the case. I mean, those are some truly horrific drafts. And if you're wondering why this team has no depth and why these guys are like Deonte Banks and Jalin Hyatt are still out there, look no further than those two drafts. If you're not getting good complementary players who can fill in for you every once in a while or who can fill in through injury, this is the result that you're going to get. I mean, these are total strikeouts just across the board in some of these drafts.
Unplayable players.
Unplayable players. And I don't know. Where do you want to go next? Like, I'm so, like, there's nothing to say. Like, the season's over. The head coach is fired, even though he's somehow going to finish out the year. The defensive coordinator is being held here simply because the head coach is delusional enough to think that he can scapegoat him at the end of the year. And the GM, no one has any idea. So, I mean, I really don't know what else to say. We could talk about Jackson Dart. We can talk about his incredible play. We could talk about the offensive line. We can once again, for like the fourth straight week, talk about the total lack of accountability from some of the players on this team, especially those who have been here, who are tenured, who have captaincy just plastered on their chest for seemingly no reason. I don't know. I'm pissed off. I really just fed up with talking about this team on a weekly basis until they make some sort of change.
I think we can talk about Brian Daboll for a second because I think there is some disagreement between you and I. While we agree that he should get fired, there should be a regime change in New York, I simply don't think that that's like a slam dunk going to happen. I
Can I
think,
say something?
sure, you can say whatever you want.
I'll do a little air quotes. I have a clue, a raging clue, that Brian Daboll is done. He's done. He's done. That's just what it is. He's done. Jackson Dart cannot save this man's job. It's like,
Well, what can save his job?
nothing. Like, I am of the belief, wink wink, that this has been decided.
Even if he goes around and wins six
It's
games.
not happening, but it's not happening. I know last week you were just like, oh, maybe Jackson Dart can pull out a few wins. Spread yesterday was 2.5 at home and they got fucking demolished. I don't care about like the garbage time Gunnar Olszewski touchdown. They got destroyed. This team for a number of reasons. One, because the players just suck. Two, because they're banged up. Three, because even the players that are in leadership positions on this team, Darius Slayton doesn't give a fuck. Brian Burns is pissed off for like the third straight week. You're getting bupkis from Dexter Lawrence. Like, this is not a team that's going to magically buy in and try super hard down the stretch. It's just not. And Jackson, like Dan Duggan said this, albeit poorly in one of his tweets, but he wrote about it more in depth. Like, Jackson Dart is so good, but even he can only take them so far. So I don't like, I have no illusions that this team is going to win any sort of meaningful football game or even like what we would deem as meaningless down the stretch that would save this man's job. I believe, wink, wink, that this has already been decided and that regardless of what happens at the end of the year, he's out. And the only thing that's up in the air is whether or not Joe Shane is still here.
Well, that is good to hear. Even though I'm not saying you're wrong, my only concern is because this organization has dropped their standards so low. I mean, this is year four of this regime. They're 5-21 since the start of 2023. I
It's
mean,
bad.
they're one of the worst teams record-wise in the NFL after 2022. I mean, we know the longer history and the different head coaches, but just this regime alone has been one of the worst teams, despite going to the playoffs in their first year and winning a playoff game. I hope you're right. I do think that coaching this season has just been so bad. The lack of accountability. I mean, I was very disgusted, Ethan, at the amount of people, and these are people that I actually like there's a lot of people on social media, like part of like Giant fans that are just, like they are what they are, like they do what they do, they say what they say, and that's fine. I'm not gonna insult them, but I just don't value their takes, right? But the amount of people that were going at Carl Banks for what he said about Dexter Lawrence, it disgusts me. And I'm not somebody that, like, I understand who Carl Banks is. I understand what he works for. Like, I get that part. I've been around. I know I've followed Carl Banks for a while. But what I saw last week from him was honesty. And it was not something, hey, wink, wink, we're not happy with this guy. This wasn't something like that. I think this is Carl Banks sat down, watched the film, and made a comment based on what he believed he saw during the game last week. And people that are like, well, call out the owner, call out the head coach, call out the defensive coordinator, call out the bust first round draft. Like, he's done that. Carl Banks has called out Shane Bowen's scheme. He did it last year, actually. And we talk about how John Mara said what he said about Shane Bowen. Carl Banks said what he said about Shane Bowen too. He came on that line of like, maybe we need a new defensive coordinator last year. And people getting mad at him for calling out Dexter Lawrence. And I made it a concerted effort to kind of watch Dexter Lawrence. And again, I know every time the Dexter Lawrence conversation is brought up, everyone points to the fact that he's still the most double-teamed defensive lineman in the NFL. And again, you're just trying to it, that's there you're trying to make a nonsensical point about the overall subject. The issue is not the fact that he gets double-teamed. The issue is that even when he was getting double teams in year past, he was still, making plays. He was still dominating. He was still being disruptive. That Dexter Lawrence is not there. And it goes back to the larger point, how we just continue to lower our standards and we just constantly want to talk about the bad players and, the lame duck coach. But in reality, like, you can change the coach and they probably will, like you said, Ethan. And they'll probably change the defensive schemes up. But I can promise you, if Dexter Lawrence plays like he played this year, like we're having the same conversation next year about Dexter. Sorry to say. So I get it. Like, we don't want to criticize our best players for some reason. But I always thought what Carl said was spot on. Obviously, the wording could have been better, but I understood what his overall point was. And it was
Okay.
proved furthermore yesterday.
Every week it gets worse.
In
You know,
regards,
I, not to be like that guy, but when you're supposed to be like the best nose tackle in the NFL, and a player so talented that, even I was touting him as probably the best nose tackle in NFL history
We
last
were
year.
talking about Hall of Fame player.
Not like even Hall of Fame, like first ballot, no doubt, Ndamukong Suh type, like Aaron Donald type kind of guy. Like don't like Vince Wilfork times a million kind of player. And it's gone. All in 1 year.
Looking for it. Looking for it.
So he better
Well,
bounce back. Anyway, Brian Daboll. We were talking about Brian Daboll at some
yeah.
point. I got distracted because Pat Leonard is instigating.
You guys really like that guy now,
You know
huh?
what? I do. I've sort of changed my tune on Pat Leonard a little bit because as you get older and you mature, you realize there's a role for people like him.
Is there?
There is. Listen,
I feel like
especially in
journalists
this.
play this game where it's like we're journalists, integrity, and this and that, and blah blah blah, but then like have this secret agenda every time.
Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah, that's journalism
Well, that's the
in
thing that I hate.
2025.
Well, that's the thing that I hate. It's like you don't tell me how much integrity you have
But
and
you know
how.
what though? Like if the New York Giants are not going to give the fans a drop of blood until the season's over, Pat Leonard's going to die trying.
I think he has no influence on anything.
No, I'm talking about just in the media. Listen to how he phrases this tweet that he just put
Sure.
out. It's a tweet about Brian Daboll reaffirming that Shane Bowen is still the Giants
Yeah,
defensive
I saw
coordinator.
that. Yeah, I saw that too,
He
but go
starts
ahead.
the tweet, Brian Daboll, comma, still the Giants head coach, comma. I mean, that's just like they don't teach that in journalism school. That is God-given instigating talent right there.
I think Pat Leonard is the. I wouldn't be surprised if he's behind like these ML football and Dove Climate accounts.
Well, yeah, I know why you're saying that. It's because you're likening him to a Manish Mehta.
Exactly.
I mean,
Like
he
a,
got busted on some fake account, didn't he?
yeah.
All right.
It's to me like that has no like I don't think ownership gives a shit about the New York Daily News with all due respect.
No, dude, that's not my point. My point is Pat Leonard is not here to initiate change. Pat Leonard is not, overthrowing
So he's
a
an engagement
regime here.
farmer.
Yeah, exactly. But like he's getting some good stuff and he's put like that to open a tweet like that, Brian Daboll, comma, who is still the Giants head coach, like that's unbelievable. It's good stuff. It's great
I mean, we
stuff.
all get entertained by different things, I guess.
I guess so. Consider me entertained.
Yeah. Brian Daboll, can we talk about Deontay?
Opting for that field goal.
Yeah, now let's talk about these in-game decisions. First of all, I think the turnover that they got that set them up, I really thought that, hey, if they get even 3 points here, like they're back in this game, and it could be a close second half. It's so funny that the kicker cost them again. Like, you can't make this up. You cannot
But
make.
Weiss, he didn't miss in warmups.
Yeah.
He didn't miss any other kick.
Yeah, I mean, you have, it's the same things like that cost them. Like you get like when you come to a game on Sunday with the Giants, right? Under this regime, you got like a checklist of things. You're like this are gonna happen, right?
Yeah.
Something is gonna happen with the kicker. He's gonna cost them
Check.
something. Check. Darius Slayton is gonna drop a pass. And
Check.
nobody's gonna talk about it. The big bad New York media is not gonna talk about it.
Check and
Check,
check.
right? Brian Daboll is going to lose his mind about something on the sideline to kind of distract us from how bad of a coach he is. Check. There was an incident. It was early in the first quarter. You're going to see like inconsistent in-game decisions on like going forward on fourth down. Check. And it's like all these things happen every week and every loss. And so his decision to kick a field goal down, was it 20-7? He kicked a field goal to go 20-10. I mean, to me, that screams like fire me now.
Right.
That just screams like I quit. Like get rid of me now. I don't want to do this anymore. The turnover that they got at the end of the first half, they ran three plays off the top of my head. I think it was a run with Tyrone Tracy. They got nothing. Then they tried to throw the ball to Tyrone Tracy. It was a little bit behind him, but dropped. And then a drop by Theo Johnson. And then a missed 49-yard field goal.
Yeah.
The most
Giants,
impressive,
bingo.
you know what the most impressive thing about that was? They had three timeouts. I don't even think they had to use any of their timeouts situation because it was just so bad.
I mean, he's a dead man walking.
Let me ask you about the trade deadline.
Please don't.
I have to ask you because this is a big topic of discussion.
Is
Like,
a topic of discussion. Can I just say something before? So, like,
you keep asking if you have to say something. It's your podcast. You can say whatever you want.
you do that too.
I know that's.
So here's my confusion.
Yes.
For a long time, it seemed like the fan base was finally on like the same page about positional value. Okay. The Giants have a franchise left tackle. The Giants will hopefully extend Jermaine Illuminor, and he is an excellent right tackle.
Hope so. I
Okay.
mean, good player, right?
Right? The Giants have a quarterback.
Looks like it.
Undoubtedly. All right. The Giants have Kayvon Thibodeaux. They've got Brian Burns. And now they
Good.
have Abdul Carter. So they have now three very good to elite pass rushers. Amazing.
Yeah, in a league where a lot of people are looking for one.
Right. The Giants also have Malik Nabers,
They do come
who,
off.
when healthy, is probably I mean, undoubtedly top 10
One of the best
receiver.
receivers in the game, yeah.
Okay. On average, when you're talking about top players at the position, by how expensive they are against the cap, are quarterback, check. Giants have one on a rookie deal. And then two and three is very close between edge rusher, which the Giants have in spades, and a wide receiver, which the Giants have a wide only one, but they have a wide receiver one. They need more wide receivers, correct?
You want to put left tackle above edge rusher? Because I think a
I think by the numbers, it's very close. Like tackle would be next.
yeah.
Okay? But the Giants have two of them.
Right.
Okay? The Giants are also projected to have a top five pick. Then why do I have people in my mentions talking about drafting run-stopping defensive tackles with a top five pick?
Which run stopping defensive tackle?
Any run-stopping defensive tackle with a top five pick.
Well, there's one that's kind of gaining a lot of steam,
I don't care.
but he's more than a run-stopping defense tackle.
Sure. Why do I have people advocating for this? I thought we were smarter. I thought we were better than this. You don't take running backs that high. You don't take interior offensive linemen with some exceptions like a Quentin Nelson that high. You don't take run stuffing defensive tackles that high.
Wait,
Top five. Top five.
you wouldn't take Peter Woods in the top 10? Like, I don't want to do the draft thing, but
If you look at the Giants situation, okay, right?
We just spent 30 minutes talking about why Dexter Lawrence doesn't look like himself.
That's fine. But for how many years in a row, or maybe not in a row, but did we have pretty good defensive tackle play drafted in rounds two and three?
I'll agree with you on this, Ethan. I'll agree with you on this.
This is strictly a positional
Yeah,
value
yeah.
argument.
I do think wide receiver is a very like playmaking is a very valuable position, and people need to have like good receivers, especially with the way the game is officiated today, how these guys get more tailored to the offense. I also think that this team is, and I know this sounds crazy, is like, yes, they struggle stopping the run, like their defense is bad, but when I look at the draft, and you put up Peter Woods with some of the receivers, I think it's a toss up because of how good I think Peter Woods is. But I do think wide receiver is a much bigger need than a defensive tackle. Whereas if you have two guys that are sort of on the same line,
But
I
forget
can
about
see why
need
you
for
would go.
if you're going best player available though, is it easier to go out in free agency and get a run stopper or a wide receiver one, which the Giants are going to need because we have no idea if Malik Nabers is even going to start the season.
Interior defensive lineman. This team needs
Right.
a receiver more than they need another interior defensive
They
lineman.
need both, but you don't just spend a fucking top five pick on a defensive tackle unless like you know that that player is like already going to be as good as Aaron
But
Donald.
one thing I'll do, I'll say, be careful with that word, just run stuff. Like Peter Woods is more than that.
That's fine. Listen, if you're a pass rusher, if you like I don't value those guys the same. Like you already have no, let me finish. You already have three incredible pass rushers. In theory, Dexter Lawrence is a guy who's playing on the interior who should be able to get you 10 sacks a year.
But they can't stop the run.
Go fine. So you find those guys for like between 10 and $15 million a year in free agency. You can draft those guys in round two and three. You are not going to find the same caliber receiver in free agency for under $30-$35 million a year, $40 million a year running market value, as you're going to find. Like, look at how many good receivers have been coming out of the draft
Well,
recently.
let me ask you this. Let me ask you this then. And what would you give up for Jaylen Waddle?
Nothing.
No, like, what do you think his value is? Like, I know you wouldn't trade for him because you're more inclined to use the top 10 pick that they're projected to have, but I'm just asking, like if Miami calls you, right, and step aside put the draft aside for now. Like, what's your value of Jaylen
They could
Waddle?
get a first for him.
But no, what would you be willing to?
Like, you're just asking me personally
Yeah, like, what do you think
if
his
I
value
had
is?
to.
Yeah, like, you're trading for Jaylen Waddle. What's your handshake like? What do you give
I
up?
don't know how you want me to answer this question. I'll give you a third.
So you're just a third for Jaylen Waddle.
Yeah, like I don't think he's good enough to give up a second and a third or give up a first
What about a
when I
second and
could
a fifth?
I consider it.
Okay. But certainly not a first round pick.
No
Obviously not.
shot.
No shot. Chris Olave.
A fourth.
A fourth. So a day three pick, maybe two day three picks. Okay. Rashid Shaheed.
Seventh.
And you got to give him a contract too. Juwan Jennings.
Seventh. A
Another.
six pick swap.
Jacoby Myers.
Brother, I don't even know anymore.
My point is that the two guys that people are like, we need to go get a wide receiver, those guys are not available for what you think they are available. Like, I don't know where this thing, like, the Dolphins just got a third round pick for Jalen Phillips. They're not trading Jalen Waddle for a third round pick. They're trading him for a first.
At least the first, because Jalen Phillips, you also need to give a new contract to.
Exactly, right. And he's not nearly the player that Jalen Waddle is, in my opinion. And Olave, I think the Saints want to keep him. So now you're talking about
He's
guys
also
that
one
are.
hit away from retirement.
And sure, and also, and then what's left is these guys are on expiring deals. You really want to trade a day three pick
No.
for Rashid Shaheed, who then holds you by the balls in contract negotiations?
No, I mean, listen, I don't think you're gonna say it, but I'll say it because I don't give a shit. If this is about like Giants absolutely need to trade for a wide receiver, what? You want Nick to cut it? Then Nick can cut it. Mark it down. I don't have the time stamp. But if this is about that, it is an asinine take.
I think it's, I'm all for the conversation like I just had with you where I threw out the names and I asked you what you would give up. If you're not willing to have that conversation with people, then you're just going off the deep end and just saying the Giants
Or you've been off the deep end.
must trade for a wide receiver. To me, that's just such an empty statement, no matter how much you slam your hand on the desk.
I agree. I think it's dumb. I think it's really dumb. Like, I understand. Like, I'm of the belief, and I said this before he was even a starter. Like, Jackson Dart started 4 years in the SEC in front of full stadiums, high tense environments, probably environments infinitely more stressful than playing in front of a 50-50 crowd at best at MetLife Stadium on Sunday in November when the team stinks and no one's there. And there's just zero pressure on you at this point. Yesterday, this dude is still dropping dimes. He's still navigating the pocket. He's like he is unbelievable throwing to TSA workers and milkmen. So
Hey,
like
that's a team captain you're talking about.
if he could you it's an insult to TSA workers and milkmen. Like if he can keep this up,
Are you saying these wide receivers should be on furlough with the government or
yes, they should.
something?
They should not be. Darius Slayton should be donating his salary to government workers who are not getting paid on right now. But this is a guy who I think it's going to be tough for him to excel with how bad this team is. But I say excel in like a team sense. Like he's not going to win them games, but he's still dropping dimes. He's still navigating the pocket. He's still running well. Like you're
He's gonna
still
sh he
seeing all these good things despite the lack of talent around him. Jaylen Waddle or no Jaylen Waddle, I don't see that changing for the next however many games they have left in the season.
Can I
Like
ask you
it's
a
just going to
question?
suck. Yeah.
Do you think that if they don't trade for a wide receiver, it's gonna be a detriment
No, that's
to
what I'm saying. I'm saying everything's going to stay exactly the same. Like this kid is tough
don't think it's gonna
mentally.
impact his development at all?
No, look at him week over
Oh,
week. Every
I
single
agree.
week we're adding more highlights to the tape. Just dropping absolute dimes. The throw to Olszewski was unbelievable. The throw that Darius Slayton let go of one hand to break his fall because he's a big bitch. Like that was a dime. You know, he's throwing balls directly to Theo Johnson that are getting dropped. Like why is that going to change his development, whether or not those passes are getting completed? If he was like inaccurate or receivers were consistently running the wrong routes, or he was inaccurate and you start to worry about like,
And
oh
see the
shit, like
field. Yeah.
right. But he's doing all those things.
Yeah. And here's the thing, like I
He's
sort of
still developing despite how badly this team is.
a great example of that is the Darius Slayton touchdown, the touchdown that he dropped, right? He came back two plays later and threw the same exact ball and it was caught by Olszewski. So it didn't impact
Yeah.
him at all that Darius Slayton dropped the pass. So
No.
that's a great point. I think
He's just good.
for his development, it's about him. And you know what? I think he did this pretty well. Those like him seeing the field, taking what the defense is giving him, getting the ball out. One of the things that Robert Saleh did was they kept him sort of in that
Future
pocket.
Giants head coach Robert Saleh.
Well, I have plenty of time to talk about that, but they sort of kept him in the pocket and was like, okay, we're not going to let you do the backyard football stuff. We're not going to let you run around. He still was able to do that on a couple of occasions, but he was taking what the defense was giving him. You saw a lot of throws to Wan'Dale Robinson that was kind of getting 5, 6 yards, and I think that's part of the development is not holding the ball and trying to see if you can get the home run ball. It's more of like take what the defense is giving you during the game, and then obviously when it's time to make a hero play, you got to make a hero play. But yeah, I'm with you. I guess I'm more inclined than you are to make a move for a wide receiver. If Olave, if I can get Chris Olave for a third, a 2027 third, and a date, another late round pick, I'd do it. I'd give up a second for Jaylen Waddle, and shit, I can even get talked into a second and a 2027 third if it need be. I do like Jaylen Waddle. But the fact of the
I just
matter
don't
is,
think GMs in the hot seat should be allowed to shop hungry.
yeah, I guess my rebuttal is I think it's more about me, the acquiring of the player than it is who's making the acquisition. And I just think that, people that are doing this without giving context, I think are just you're off the deep end. So and unfortunately fans are sort of like running with that. With like, we gotta go get a wide receiver. Well, it's like, why don't you tell me what the wide receiver is and what the cost will be? And then we can discuss if the Giants should go get that wide receiver. So I think that was a good little trade talk discussion. Evan Neal, Jalin Hyatt. Do you think they get moved at the deadline? Because at this point they're just taking up roster spots.
I don't think you can trade them.
You don't think these little late pick swap things will work?
I mean, you want to do a 6-7 pick swap? Sure. Yeah, do it. They're not going to play anyway, and the next regime's going to get rid of them. So,
Deontay Banks.
could you give them away?
I think you would. I don't know who would take him. The only
I don't think
thing
anyone.
working, like these first round pick cornerbacks that absolutely fail, they always tend to have some value. Like so, he does have, I think, another 2 years left on his contract or 1 year left.
That play where he got run over by Brian Robinson.
That's a weekly occurrence with him.
Yeah, but that was especially bad. That's like,
What about when he ran out of the locker room with his pants at his ankles, according to the New York Post?
oh, I thought that was a fake tweet.
Me
I
too.
really did. I
Me
thought I got
too.
Steinberged, and then whoops, nope, that was real. So.
What is your concern level at with Abdul Carter?
I'm not.
You're not. That's good to hear. What is your concern level at with the quarterback taking too many hits, because we saw last night what happened with Jaden Daniels. And I could totally see something like that happening with Jackson Dart, because these stupid design runs late in games when the game is out of reach is just, it's one where he's running off script and he goes and he tries to get the extra 3 yards. Those things are coachable, and that's on the coach still. But when a coach is calling these design runs, it just, I mean, what are you doing?
Yeah, I mean, I think you, I don't know, man. Like, Brian Daboll needs to be, Jackson Dart needs to be saved from Brian Daboll late in
100%
these
agree.
games. That's the problem. Daboll's never going to pull him, but he needs to be pulled.
What about the hits? Are you concerned about the hits?
No, not really. I mean,
Really?
he's been hit hard all year. I mean, he's just a tough kid.
That Jaden Daniels
So,
injury was nasty yesterday.
I'm upset that I saw it.
Yeah.
That's my dynasty quarterback. Not good.
We're only at the halfway point, Ethan.
That's
Buckle up.
the worst part. So, all right.
Starting to see
Subscribe.
apathy, planes, empty seats, visiting
Yep.
away fans.
An
Not
annual
even
tradition.
Jackson Dart can get people into the seats. Can you
Nope.
believe that? How exciting he's
Nope.
been.
An annual tradition. All right. Subscribe, follow us. Talk to you guys next week.
Peace.